Take your Bibles now and go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to test your scripture finding skills this evening. We're going to be using four different references, and they're not going to be in a logical order to you. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4 will be the first reference that we read. We will read all four of them together. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4. Ready? The Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us." Now go to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50.
Last chapter.
Genesis chapter 50. Verse number 20, we'll read together. Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20. Ready? Begin. "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it to good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Now take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read verse number 38 together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 38. Ready? Begin. "But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body." Now lastly, go to the book of Daniel, the Old Testament book of Daniel, Daniel chapter number 2. We'll read verse number 28. Daniel chapter number 2 in verse number 28. Ready? Begin. "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for the privilege it's been, Lord, to be in your house, Lord, to hear your word taught, Lord, to be with your people. Lord, it's just been a wonderful day. Lord, thank you. Lord, may it never get old. Lord, the opportunity that we have, Lord, to be in church, Lord, to freely hear the word of God preached and taught. Lord, tonight, Lord, would you take the truth that's been prepared for us? Would you allow us to listen, Lord, not with the intent, Lord, of just learning something new, but Lord, with the intent of taking the truth, Lord, applying it to our lives, Lord, and putting it in action tomorrow. Lord, we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, in these four verses, Ephesians 2:4, Genesis 50:20, 1 Corinthians 15:38, and Daniel 2:28, there are two words that occur in all four of these verses. The two words occur are, "but God." But God. Best I can tell, about 252 times in Scripture, those two words occur together. But God. But God commandeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We could go on and on. It occurs many times throughout Scripture. Now, listen to this, and I think I can help you. A man has four true needs to have a complete philosophy or picture of life. These four things are the destiny of man. Number one, he needs to know salvation. Number two, he needs comfort and grace in the struggles of this life. Number three, he needs the answers to the questions of what is beyond life. Number four, he needs to understand what is happening in this present world. If you understood those four things, you'll have a complete life. I believe that. You'll have a good understanding of life. The world would call it a good philosophy of life. These four verses that we read tonight compose the answer to those four questions. Now, I am not interested in the philosophies of life. Let me say that again. I'm not interested in Voltaire. You take anything that was written from Voltaire and send it to Charmin. Man giving you his philosophy of life. Let me ask you a question. Did Voltaire resurrect from the grave? then why are we going to listen to him? Did Niener or Brunner or Kierkegaard resurrect from the grave? I don't even know who they are. That proves. If we look to them as philosophers that understand life, how come they didn't conquer life? How about we go to the one that not only gave life, but conquered death? Why is it that man lifts himself above rather than lifting up God? You see, I'd rather look to Jesus and God's word for the philosophy of life rather than any human being. I've seen what human beings do. It isn't good. I mean, they can't even figure out what bathroom to use these days. And you think, I'm going to let them tell me what the philosophy of life is? You know, when you're hatched, they don't say to be determined on your certificate. You know, it's one or the other. You know, when calves are born, they don't say, well, it hasn't decided yet. No, it's a bull or it's a cow, period, end of discussion. And you children can ask your mommy and daddy how that works. All right, so I'm not going there. Now, may I say this? But to have a complete biblical philosophy of life, you need to know four things. First, man's need of salvation. Number two, he needs comfort and grace in the struggles of this life. Three, the answers to what is beyond this life. And four, understanding what's happening in this present world. When you get that, you'll have a better view of life. I promise you. Now, let me jump into these, and then we'll hit the end of it real quick here. I'm hungry. No. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 9. If you go back to Ephesians 2, I'm going to read a little farther here, and there's a reason for it, and I didn't want to belabor the scriptures tonight, but we read in verse number 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us," watch this, "even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened," the word quicken there means make to live, "make quick," or "hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I want you to notice something. It's only but God that we get saved. It is only by God that we get saved. I'm going to either go up in the rapture or go to my grave saying this. Religion is man telling God how God has to accept man. Christianity is God telling us how to get saved and us accepting it. Brother Josh sent me something today that since the coronavirus is going on, that the Pope said it's okay now if you can't get a priest that you could confess your sins directly to God. It's only taken them 1900 years to figure that out. 1700 years. Wow. The Pope gave everybody permission to talk to God. And you know there's people dumb enough to believe that? Can I tell you something? It's only by God that we are saved.
Yes, sir.
Did you know that Jesus came and died for man? He didn't die for Satan and the angels. God loved man so much that he gave himself for man. It's not man's job to figure out what God wants. God already told us. Let's just obey it. It's not time for us to make beads and pray through Mary, the mother of God, the queen of heaven. Do you know that the term queen of heaven is only used 3 times in scripture and it's about a false god? Every time that the Catholics pray to the queen of heaven, they're praying to a false idol. Everybody doing okay? Lightning didn't strike. It's okay. God's saying amen in heaven right now. She is not the queen of heaven. what they call the Immaculate Conception, if you look it up in Catholic doctrine, it's not about Jesus, it's about Mary. They believe she was virgin born. That's from their own stuff. They don't believe Mary ever died. They believe she was translated to heaven. In other words, well, if you pray through Mary, that's God, that's Jesus' mother, and Jesus has to listen to his mother. Okay, that's humanism. That's putting Mary above God, because Jesus is God. Jesus doesn't have to listen to anybody but the Father. And they're in total agreement, just so you know. So if it were not but for God, then all of us would follow Satan to hell, and God would be just for allowing that to take place. But God loved man so much that he made salvation available. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can I tell you something? It was only but God that we get saved. He made salvation available to man. Man does not merit salvation on his own. I don't have to ask this, but every one of us are sinners. We've disqualified ourselves for heaven by our lack of righteousness. Not just the presence of sin, but the lack of righteousness. God did not make salvation available to the devil and the angels. Several months ago, I mentioned this in a sermon, but I'll re-mention it here. Did you ever notice when the demons saw Jesus, that they would flee? And it was to the demons that he said, "You hush up and don't tell anybody who I am." They already knew who he was. Say why? Because those are the angels that fell with Satan in heaven. They knew who he was. He was trying to keep it quiet long enough to get to Calvary. He even told him not to tell the devil, because he needed the devil to crucify him. For had he known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And they obeyed him. The demons obeyed Jesus. It's amazing that demons are more obedient than human beings. Man needs to know that he is not saved, or that he is saved, and that he does not have to spend eternity in hell. Can I tell you why this world is so freaked out? Because this is all they have to look forward to. Folks, don't take this the wrong way. I'm kind of like Brother Hiles. The thought of dying doesn't scare me. I just don't want to hurt when I do it. If I didn't have to hurt and know it was going to be quick, let's do it. Amen. But I don't want to hurt while I die. Say, what is that called being a coward? I don't like pain. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I know I'm going to heaven. I know that if the rapture takes place, I'm out of here. Brother Scott can take over the church then. Now, wait a minute. Man who is not saved is worse than an animal. God made man body, soul, and spirit. A lost person has a dead spirit. They have the potential for a spirit, but it is dead. Now, watch this. Plants are just a body. Animals are body and a soul. Just come to my house. I have a little white beagle who is a chick with an attitude. She gets in her little moods, and let me tell you, she gives you looks. Amen, Ruth Ann? She gives me looks. And you'll say something to her, and she'll do this. And turn her head. And you'll talk to her, and she'll just, I'm thinking, you're worse than a two-year-old. You talk about an attitude. What is that? It's soul. Soul is your ability to communicate with each other. The black folk will often say, "I got soul." That means you have the ability to make me like you. That's a term that is used. You say, what is it? That's your personality. That's people enjoying you and you making yourself and life enjoyable. But wait a minute, man that has lost his body and soul and he has a dead spirit, guess what? Something that's dead begins to rot. It gets stinky. Wait till about July and find some roadkill on the side of the road with its legs going like this, and it looks like a balloon that's all blowed up. Don't mess with it. We were out groundhog hunting one summer. This one. Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was you, because Jeff and I were running. Don't tell me. The farmer had a cow that died, and he put it out in an old rock break. It was about July or August, and that thing, it was about as expanded. I mean, it looked like a giant bass drum. And the skin was so thin. And in the smell, you could smell it from 150, 200 yards away. Well, we walked up. We were about half the distance, about from here to Brother Barnes away from it. And guess who gets the idea that it would be fun to shoot that dead cow? I said, don't do it. And he started to pull up. I said, Jeff, run! And we started running upwind. He hit that thing, kaboom! And I mean, everything within a half mile left. The maggots blew out everywhere. I mean, it was like a shower of maggot rain. I have never seen or smelled anything so vile in my life. And he's standing there going, ugh! We had about a 2-second head start on him. I said, Jeff, run and hold your breath. Oh, we got clear back to the truck a half mile away and could still smell it. Guess what? That's what a lost person's spirit is like. It's nasty. Full of defilement. He doesn't do that anymore. Trust me. One time was enough. Now, wait a minute. That's why man acts worse than an animal. Did you know animals aren't sodomites? They have it all figured out. Humans are, because they're worse than an animal. Did you ever notice animals aren't as hard to control as people are? It's not because they're dumb. Most of them are smarter than people. They're smart enough to listen. God made man to be a body, a soul, and a spirit. If he is not born again, he can't be complete as God intended him to be. By the way, that's why using spiritual words around lost people, they don't understand it. Make the gospel simple. Say why? Because they have a dead spirit. Well, you need to be justified and redeemed, and you've got to have the... Folks, they don't give a flip what those words mean. You don't even know what they mean. Why are you using them? I was with a fella, I won't give his name because there's a couple folks in here that would know it. We were out soul winning one time and I met up with a sodomite. And I knew what he was right away, but my soul winning partner didn't. And he said, well, I'm too bad a sinner to get saved. And my soul winning partner, I was talking to the guy, and my soul winning partner had all he could take. He said, look, man, if you die, you're going to fry in hell like a sausage. You ought to have seen that little Twinkie. He didn't know what to do. I mean, he literally scared the guy to get saved. Wait a minute. That's not necessarily the term I'd use, but guy turned the corner, got saved. He brought people to church. He changed his life. It's not him that changed, though. It's God. Man can't change. That's why man's programs don't work. That's why Alcoholics Anonymous will tell you once you're an alcoholic for life. Guess what? God says, old man passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. Old nature still there? Yes. But guess what? You're a new man in Christ. I'm not one of these people that believes it's a life sentence. Everybody doing okay? So, number one, man needs to know salvation. Number two, turn to Genesis chapter 50 again. Hopefully you kept your finger there. At least it's the first book of the Bible. At least Jamie can find it for Scott. Genesis 50, verse number 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. So number one is salvation. Number two, God can work out anything for his glory. God can work out anything for his glory. I want you to notice something. This was in reference to Joseph. And he says, look, you meant what happened to me as evil, but after all these years, God has been able to use me to turn it to good now so that I can help my family. It took a long time. Can you imagine being sold by your brothers into slavery? And then they sold him again to somebody else. Learned new languages. Then his brothers came begging for food because there was famine in the land. They came to him and didn't recognize him because he was just a young teenager at the time. And he begins to help his family, and they didn't even know it. Now, God did not create complications in our life. Sin brings complication. I said it this morning. I don't believe God created the coronavirus. I believe it's a combination of man and sin. So many thoughts. Only if it would hit Nancy. Sin brings complication and problems. Man had life going pretty well till he sinned. The result of sin is death. Sin brings complications in life. Did you know there was no problem on earth until man sinned? Can you imagine a perfect marriage? Adam had it. He's the only one. And he blew it. And then he blamed God for it. God, the woman that thou gavest me, she'd made me do it. Man's been blaming his wife ever since. Because it's true. No. But God can help us turn the bad times into good. He didn't say he would stop the bad. But he said he would help you turn the bad times into something good. Is that not what Romans 8:28 says? And we know that all things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. He didn't say everything was good. He didn't even say all things work together for my good. He said all things will work together for good. God can take the worst of situations and turn it into something good. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego didn't face a fiery furnace saying, watch this, y'all, we're coming out alive. Our God will deliver us. But if not, they went in expecting to fry up. But they were loosed walking around in the fire. And when they were called to, they came out of the fire. I've said this before. Nowhere in Scripture does it ever say that they saw Jesus, but we know Nebuchadnezzar did. Nowhere does it say Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego saw Jesus in the fire. You may not see God in the situation. The lost world may, and that's what will change them. I see many times God working as I see it affect other people, but I didn't see it that way. So sin brings complications and problems, but God can work through those. Why is God letting this happen? Sometimes God's not allowed to have control. Quit blaming God. How about we blame man and the devil like it should be? Amen. Why is it always God's fault? I don't know why God caused us to lose this child. I don't know why God caused this person to die. I don't know why God let a good person die early. Sometimes God's not in control. We're all sinners. Everybody doing okay? We can live with victory, but we can't live with tranquility. Victory means battle. Tranquility means everything's calm and easy. Tranquility is that early morning out at the lake at sunrise, and there's no wind, and it's just like glass. That's called tranquility. That's not reality. Life isn't lived that way. You can have victory. Victory has come through battle. Victory has come through opposition. But you cannot have tranquility. So Peace is the result of battle, not the absence thereof. God did not ever promise that you would have no problems, but he did promise to go through those problems with you. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. By the way, that's one of those Greek statements in there that is a quadruple or a quintuple. It literally means, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you looked it up, it has that many negatives in it. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God said, I'm going to quadruple the fact that I'm not, and they're all in the aorist tense, which means it keeps going and going and going and going and going and going and going. He said, I double dog dare you, triple dog and quadruple dog dare you. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He didn't say he was going to take all your problems away. He said, I'll take those problems and work them out and help you find good in them, but you're still going to go through those problems. Number three, I must hurry. To the saved, when this life over, heaven awaits us. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I love this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 38. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed in his own body. Now look at me. Mrs. Cave and I were talking this morning. We were talking about the rapture a little bit. I wouldn't separate with you over this. I wouldn't tell you I'm right and you're wrong, or you're right and I'm wrong. But at the rapture, say, well, how's that going to work, preacher? When God calls you up, it says, in the moment and twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive shall remain and be caught up together to meet him in the air. We will be alive until the moment that we leave this earth, and then we're dead. Our bodies will drop off. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting skies while shouting through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Amen. Now, wait a minute. When we leave this earth, you'll die, but you're not physically going to know you died, because it's just going to be instantaneous as you're going up. You'll know what's happening. But your body will be left behind. You say, why? Because it won't last forever in heaven. Thank God we're going to get rid of the aches and pains. Amen, Miss Wally? We're going to get rid of the Ritus brothers and the Ism brothers. The cancers will be gone. The kidney stones will be gone. Glory to God. All the problems, the bad teeth, the bad eyes, the color blindness, glory to God, will be gone. You see, what waits us on the other side, we'll actually meet him in the air. We'll know what's taking place, but our body physically, I personally believe, dies immediately. We're not taking this body with us. It's not going to be a puddle of goo. We're not taking our bones with us. They're affected by sin. We get a new body. And it's from the seed of his own body. That's Jesus, just so you know. But God hath put his seed in us. When planted by death, the spirit rises to heaven. When planted by death, the spirit rises to heaven. The moment a person passes, their spirit leaves and their soul leaves and goes to heaven if they're saved. It is immediate. I have been with countless people as they've taken their last breaths. And to the saved, watching them die, please don't take this the wrong way. There is something very serene, something very spiritual about it. It really is. You can hear the rustle of angels' wings at times. When the Lord comes and it's their time, buddy, let me tell you, it can be very sweet. But I've been around people who died and went to hell, and it's not very sweet. It's pretty rough. Jesus is the seed, and he gave us the Holy Spirit. See, you can't rise without a spirit. So he put in us the Holy Spirit. Now, heaven is as real as those who have been planted before us, and they are forever eternally blooming in heaven right now. Heaven is real, just as real as earth is. It is a real place. Those precious babies who have been lost before birth or at birth, can tell you something, they're real. They're there. I've got some grandbabies in heaven. Can I tell you something? I got perfect grandkids. I do. And I'm thankful for that. You know, those children don't have to grow up and face what we face. Do I understand it? No. I can't tell you I understand it, but I can be thankful that we've got something to look forward to more in heaven than before. I've used this story before. My wife and I were talking about a little boy this week. When we were in South Carolina, there was a special needs boy. His name was Johnny Ryan. I don't know if you remember Johnny or not. Johnny was, he was wheelchair bound. He was severely handicapped mentally. He could say mama, but it took him about 6 or 7 years before he could even say that. I think that's the only word that he could use. He had just very few words, if more than one. But Johnny was my buddy. Johnny was about 13, 14 years old. He would still go to the nursery. He couldn't control himself physically. He had to be changed. His mama raised him by herself for a while and then got remarried and married a wonderful man that adopted Johnny into his own family and took care of him like his own son. Johnny's favorite thing was brown paper bags. He would sit in his wheelchair and play with a brown paper bag. And Johnny knew me. He and I were buddies. For some reason, I talked his language. We were at the same intelligence level. But Johnny and I were buddies, and I would, every time, every couple weeks, I'd take, Johnny would come to church and I'd pull out a brown grocery bag and give it to him. And he'd, yeah, he'd get all excited. He'd be playing with those bags. And I don't know what he thought they were, but he enjoyed brown paper bags. Well, Johnny got sick. Johnny got sick and Johnny got sicker. And Johnny had to go have surgery, and he opened him up. And apparently he had eaten about a bag and a half, and it clogged up his internal system to where everything started dying inside of him. Now, Johnny wasn't going to be well anyway, but his mama called me, and she said, Brother Bush, Johnny's dying. They can't even close him up. She said, I can't sit with him and watch him die, but I don't want him to go alone. I said, I'll be right there. I drove down to Roper Hospital. I walked in and she said, he's in there. I went in and they had him popped open from about right here, clear down almost to, well below his belly button. And they had about 3 stitches holding him together and a bunch of stuff piled on top of it. And blood was coming out of his eyes and his ears and his nose. And they were pumping blood and plasma as fast as it was coming out. And nurses and doctors everywhere. And they looked at me. I said, it's okay, I'm the preacher. And I walked to the side of the bed and I grabbed Johnny by the hand with my left hand, and with my right hand I started touching his forehead. I leaned down into his ear and I said, Johnny, in just a little while you're going to get to go to heaven. I said, you've never walked here, but when you wake up you're going to be running like all the other boys and girls were. You've never jumped and never played, but you're going to get to play. You've never talked, but you're going to get to talk to Jesus, Johnny. And a nurse came over and she grabbed my arm. She said, Reverend, what are you doing? What are you doing? I said, Johnny's going to go to heaven. I said, I'm talking to him about it. She said, no, look. I said, what? She said, look, His blood pressure was about 51 over 19 when I got there. And his heart rate was just about nothing. His blood pressure was 100 over 60. And his heart rate was about 100. I mean, it's just... I said, Johnny, you little booger. I said, let's show these doctors and nurses what it means to go to heaven. I stood there and talked over his body, witnessing to doctors and nurses, and had a couple nurses and a doctor get saved. And I said, okay, Johnny, are you ready? I said, go get his mama, go get his daddy. They came in and they said their goodbyes. They walked out and I said, Johnny, it's time to go to heaven. I said, why don't you let the Lord come get you, buddy? I bowed my head and I prayed, and the nurse said, Reverend, look, look, look. And everything just started going. In about 3 minutes, he was in heaven. I didn't tell them that story till the funeral. Man, did we have a time. Can I tell you something? I've watched people go to heaven. There's nothing sweeter than that, let me tell you. Old Colt was here today. He got a little noisy. Say, preacher, why do you have a soft spot for children like that? Because I knew a Johnny Ryan and a Gus. And boys and girls that God, for some reason, they're made a little different, but God loves them too. They told Gus and told Joe and Ashley that Gus would never communicate, never say a word. Well, bless God, he won't go anywhere without his Bible. I'm going to have a hard time getting him out of junior church someday when he gets older because he loves Brother Lopez. Brother Lopez and I are going to have a fight over that one. Can I tell you something? Heaven's real. Heaven's real. It's a real place. Don't forget that. It's real. Say, preacher, what about all this that's happening? The worst thing happens is we get left here. Heaven's real. Don't worry about it. Number four, and I'm done. The conditions of this old world are pretty bad, but there is a God in heaven. We read Daniel 2:28. You don't need to turn there, but it says, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth the secrets that maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar. It's in reference to government. Can I tell you something? No one knows exactly what's happening in the world today. Nobody. In the last couple of weeks, if you look at the face of our president and our vice president, they're dealing with forces of evil right now that are beyond what we can comprehend. It's on their face. They know enough about this book and know enough about end times. I happen to know personally that they know it. And you look at them and they have been battling evil. Not a virus, not sickness, not the responsibility of it. They are battling evil right now, spiritual wickedness in high places. I could just about say this with confidence. Probably they have looked into the face of the Antichrist. They just don't know who he is yet. Imagine facing that kind of evil. Did you know that in the 1930s, J. Frank Norris thought that we were near the rapture? That was 90 years ago. Imagine how closer we are today. I can't tell you everything's going to be okay. I can't tell you that you'll not get sick. I can't tell you that somebody in our church might not get this stuff, get sick and or die. But I can't tell you that about the flu either. I can't tell you that about pneumonia. I can't tell you that about cancer. Nobody can. By the way, it's not for... Well, this virus should show us men how lousy of a God man really is. And yet man wants to trust man. Not God. Some guy drove by our church bus this morning and took a picture of the phone number with a child in the front seat calling on his handheld phone calling me to tell me that I was endangering lives, and he was breaking the law while he did it. Well, I happen to know that I probably helped save lives today, not endanger lives. Put the joy of the Lord back in people to keep them going so that they don't get weirded out and freaked out. Keep people encouraged about the Lord so they tell others and change eternity today. Government's a pretty lousy God. This virus should show us how frail and how weak we really are. Folks, we're not as tough as we think we are. The powers of this world and the medical professionals and the government leaders may think they know a lot, but can tell you something, Jesus is coming and he knows it all. They think they have it figured out, but can tell you something, Jesus has already got it all worked out. Don't you worry. God will bring man in this world to the realization that God is God. Let God be true and every man a liar. What they gave you will give you a right perspective about life. You hear me joke. Don't take life so seriously. You're not going to make it out alive anyway. Say, why is that, preacher? Because I know where I'm going. No, heaven's real. I know I'm saved. I've tried to help everybody I can get saved. And may I say this, my trust is not in government, but I do know what's going on. Be careful. Be wise. Folks, people are looking for the truth. Can tell you, there's a family that visited our church this morning. Imagine, every other church in the area shut down and we had visitors today. Wonder how that happens. Well, I happen to believe if you stand for right, God blesses it. And of all scriptures to use, that God gave us where we sowed not. I didn't know they were coming. I still don't even know where they live. I haven't seen the visitor's card. But can I tell you something? God knows. God knows why they came. And he helped them come here. They didn't have much to choose from today. You got this or nothing. Well, they came. Seemed to enjoy themselves. Praise the Lord. I've had preachers all over the country tell me, you had visitors today? Yeah. They're looking for a church. We were open. Mrs. Barnes is working on the Methodists at the bank. She's got a Methodist family at the bank, almost ready to come to church. Man, she knows their archbishop and whoever, whatever, I don't know what you call them. Some dude with a dress. It could be a dudette, who knows, but you say, people are looking for truth. People are tired of all this fake entertainment. How about we just take the word of God and preach it plain and true and say, here it is. Let God be true and every man a liar. If you understood those four things tonight, you'll have a pretty good perspective on life. You have nothing to fear if you're saved. If you're not saved, get saved. Then you don't have to be afraid. It's that easy. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Not philosophy. I call it Bibleology. It's not man's view of life, it's God's view of man's life. That's what it's all about. Say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul?